All right, we're ready.
You're on.
Until the Hanukkah Perek Shlishi.
Elu Na'arot Sheyesh Lehem Knas. Now, we've already gotten hints of a profound relationship between the dinim of Ketuvot and the dinim of Ones U'Mefaten. And that's because this, at least the smichut, according to those who hold the Ketuvah as the Oraita, it's even more than the smichut, of the din of Ketuvah in the Mataim Zuz, is based on the posik Kimor HaBetulot. So it's Kesev Yishkol Kimor HaBetulot, which implies that there's such a thing as Moar HaBetulot. Moar HaBetulot, the Targum says, is referring to the Ketuvah. In other words, there's a certain amount of money that's associated with the zechut of marrying a betula. Not surprisingly, the Mishnah, immediately after going through the dinim of what consists of the ketuvah v'betula in the first parak and the nemanut on the betulot in the second parak, comes now to discuss the dinim of knas itself. And we know that we have two parshas in the Torah. One is the parsha of the mefate, which is in Shmos, and the other is in the parsha of the kitetze, which is the parsha of Onis. And we're going to go through today the Yukim and the Psukim in both of these parshiyot to see how they impact one another. But before we do that, we have to remember that the parsha of the relationship of payment of knas is in context of a father. And a father, therefore, we have to first consider the overall zechuyot that a father has in his daughter. So one of the zechuyot that the Torah gives a father to a daughter is the zechut of sel. That zechut of sel includes kiddushin, because we know that if he sells his daughter, that the owner of the daughter, and this again, owner is a loose term, because it's obviously not, it's not a sale of a goof, it's a sale of rights to work, but is allowed to use the money of the sale for yi'ud. So that yi'ud is a form of kiddushin, in which we look at the money that was paid to the father as kesef kiddushin. So that, and generally we expect that that will be the normal development of the relationship of a child worker will ultimately grow into a love relationship and will become a child bride. And that's really the main focus on these kind of relationships. In that context, we have a machlokas in the Gemara later about what is included in the rights in those years of the rights of sale. One thing we know is that as soon as the child arrives at puberty, she's no longer an Oma Ivriya, because she's Yotze B'Simoni. In which case, obviously, the father cannot sell her once she's already pubescent. Because, I mean, as the Gemara says, if Mechura Kvar Yotzah, so if she already was sold, she's free. So obviously, he can't go now and sell her. That would be absurd. So that's a given. The question is, what is the relationship to Knas? Because Knas, the Torah always talks about a Na'ara. But a Na'ara, by definition, is in the pubescent stage. Remember that we have three stages. We have the prepubescent, which is childhood. And we have the pubescent stage, which is Na'arut. And then we have the adult stage, which is called Bagrut, Bogeret. A Bogeret is from the time that she's post-Na'arut until the end of her life. So that really, the truth is, of course, we have one other stage, and that stage is before the age of three. But before the age of three, there's no such thing as a Betula. Because there's no concept of the betulim, because betulim anyway replaced themselves before the age of three, and therefore we learn from that that she's eina ruya leviya, and all the dinim of intercourse that we find in the Torah do not apply by definition to an act of penetration, which is viewed as just it might as well be penetrating with your fingers. I mean, it has nothing to do with intercourse. We have four stages really. So the question is that there is hakpada on na'arut, is that dafka, so that up until the time in which she becomes a Na'ara, which is at the age of 12, assuming that she also presents signs of puberty. So then for the next 6 months, she's considered to be a Na'ara until she automatically flips into a stage of Bagrut. The only time that we don't have that intermediate stage is in a case where she's sterile, she's an Eilanit, so we never enter a stage of pubescence, obviously, by definition. So we go directly from Katnut to Bagrut. But generally speaking, we have this intermediate stage, which the Torah seems to be makben on Dafka, when it comes to Knas. And that's a machlokas. Does that mean that there's no Knas to a Ketana? Or does it mean that the Knas extends beyond the rights of Mechira, also into Na'arut, but there's certainly rights to Knas as a Ketana as well? That we're going to explore now in this sugya. But the Mishnah begins with Elu Na'arot, which implies that only Na'arot have Knas and Ketanot don't have a Knas. So Elu Na'arot Sheyesh Lahem Knas. And we're going to see that obviously this doesn't really mean Elu Na'arot Sheyesh Lahem Knas. We can't list the ones who do get a Knas. We're listing the ones who get a Knas despite the fact that there's some problem that would have led us to think that maybe she shouldn't get a Knas. And we'll see what the reason is for that. So we're listing special cases now in which, despite the problem in this woman, had we wanted to marry her, nonetheless, there still isn't a Knas. And you'll note that one of the amazing halakhas in the Torah, which is an incredibly sophisticated halakha, is that in cases of rape, the Torah insists on the woman's right to have the man marry her. And this is because most rape essentially is what we would call today date rape kind of thing. And so even though normally this we would view this sort of as a violation of the relationship, the Torah recognizes that in rape lies a deeper relationship, in a sense. It means I can't live without you, basically. I'm not constrained by normal constraints in my relationship to you. The man to the woman. And because of that, there is, if it's possible, and she desires this relationship, then he's never allowed to divorce her. Moral takes this even a step further and says this is the relationship of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Yisrael, that it had to be a date rape, so to speak. Because the Kofalayim Har Kigigit is basically a kfiyah of a relationship, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't switch us for any other Ummah because of the fact that he took advantage of our love. Beautiful insight. So the Torah views rape as a deeper relationship. Because of that, the response to rape in the Torah is divided between normal assault and battery. We have all the normal dinim, tzar, ripui, sheves, breshes, and so on, which would be obviously dependent on the case. And that's a regular civil case. And there is also a criminal penalty, which is a fine. That criminal penalty is called the knas. And then besides that, we have this very special halacha, that a man does not get advantage over a woman in rape. On the contrary, she gets advantage over him, and he becomes now her enforced husband, if she so desires, and can never get rid of her. Oh boy, that is a punishment, let me tell you. You better really want this, exactly. So therefore, says the Eilat Mishnah as follows. Elu na'arot sheyesh lahem knas. Problem na'arot, that nonetheless have knas, despite the fact that that additional clause, which is that he's supposed to marry her and keep her as a wife, cannot be enforced in the following cases because there is something wrong with marriage to this woman, nonetheless, they have kenas. So, habala mamzeret. Obviously, we can't say that the Torah is going to say he has to keep the mamzeret as a wife because he's going to be orban alav to sleep with the mamzeret. So, that's out of the question. Haba al hanitina. Nitina, you'll remember, was the one of the Shiva Amamim that presented themselves to we had really twice in history such a ma'isa, but from the time of Moshe Rabbeinu we had such a ma'isa. Moshe Rabbeinu was Gezer on them, we find later Gezeris on David, and Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos all over as to whether this is a D'oraisa or the Rabbon, and Tosfos learns it's a D'oraisa because since the Nesinim were from the Shiva Amamim, they retained the Isser of Chatnut even after Gerut, and are only after Gerut, particularly if you recall the Gemara Yavamas. Barnea, keep it down, please! So that the Isser would be an Isser D'oraisa. According to others, we're talking about an Isser D'rabbanan. So someone who is Bala Mamzeret, or Ala Netina, even though he's not allowed to keep this Netina, so he can't be Mekayim, the Mitzvah of Lotia Leisha. The Ala Kutit, now the Kutim, were left by Sancheriv in place of the population of Jews, and Semach Lokas in the Gemara, whether they're considered to be Gerei Emet, or whether they're considered to be Gerei Arayot. Arayot spelled with an olive, meaning lions, that they were responding to the fear that they had that God had sent these lions against them, and therefore they became Jewish, not really wanting to be Jewish. It's about Chlokas, whether there's an Isser of Lo Titchaten on them or not. Rashi learns here that our Tana holds that there's an Isser of marriage, that it's actually that they're Gerei Arayot. Tosfos learns that it could be that they're Gerei Emet, but that there was a Gezerah not to marry with them in order not to be mixed with them and to end up becoming stuck in Avodah Zarah and so on, which they were found to be ultimately doing. In the end, there was a Gezerah that turned the Kutim into Akum Lekol Dovar, which was a later Gezerah time of Rabasi, which the Mishnah, of course, predates.
It's not those Haram of Kananim.
Right, yeah, well, it's a question whether that's an overall, when Rashi learns it's an overall Kabur Yisr. Abala Gioret, Viala Shvuya. Now, that's clause number one. It was the first set are Isure Lav, or Isur Rabbanit, perhaps. Abala Gioret, the second set. Is Abala Gioret Vala Shvuya Vala Shivka Shnivdu Vishnu Gairu Vishnu Shtachru Pchutot Pindot Shaloshanim Yom Echad. As we said in our introduction, we have a stage in which intercourse is not possible, in the sense of not legally termed, halachically termed intercourse. And therefore, even though a woman who was a giyoret, or was a shifcha, or who was a shvuya, as we saw earlier, had been captured by goyim, is always considered to not be a betula, but if these events took place before the age of 3, so then she's considered to be a betula. So now if years later, as a nara, she is raped by this guy, yesh la knas, as long as the original events in question took place before she was shalosh shanim v'yomecha. Set number 3 is where there is an isur karet, on a real erva, but not an isur misa. Because if there would be a mita that would be involved, and we would say, kam leben rabba mine, and you don't pay in cases where you're up for a capital crime. And that's even if you're not really up for the crime because you didn't accept hatra'ah, whatever the case is. But nonetheless, any act which would involve technically the possibility of a capital crime is not going to be mechayivim and tashlumi. However, our Mishnah is going like the Mandi Omer, who holds that karet is not included in that klal. And therefore, the Mishnah says the following set of women, whom, if you would continue to sleep with them, would be an issur karet every time. That, and therefore, obviously, you cannot take her as a wife. But nonetheless, if somebody, let's say, rapes his sister, so his baal achoto, or his aunt, achot aviv, or achot imo, or his sister-in-law, achot ishto, or his sister-in-law through his brother, eshet achiv, or eshet achi aviv, v'al hanida, so all of these involve isurei karet, and you might think that because they involve isurei karet, therefore, they potter you. Let's forget about the other issue. The other issue is obvious. What the heck?
Separate from Kamal Ibn Rabban.
The other issues, this is only because of Kamal Ibn Rabban. The other issues we already spoke about, the ability to take such a woman. And besides that issue, we're over here, it's even a bigger issue in keeping the woman to be Makai Veloti Eli Isha. But over here, there's also the further problem of perhaps Achshash Kamal Ibn Rabban, we'll see later, Rabbi Chunya Ben Akana actually holds that every Chiyav of Karet is also a Kamal Ibn Rabban in a situation. So we're talking about over here, Afa Pishain Bi Karet, even though there is a Chiyav of Karet, but we're talking about where there was no Hatra'ah, and there's no Malkut, because then we get into another issue, which is Ein Lokinu Mishalmim. But here there's no Malkus. The question is whether Karet is considered to become like a rabbi, minate pati from Knas, comes along the Mishnah to say, no, it's not so considered Yeshlan Knas, Afa Pishain Bi Karet, but Ein Be Mitat Beidin, since there's no Chiyav of Mitah and Beidin, therefore, there's no problem of pottering you from Knas.
That's actually
a
mitzvah.
Yes.
So, is there any consideration that should? Yes, the Gemara is
going to consider that. Says the Gemara, what is that supposed to mean? Elu, the only Nara that has a Knas is a Mamzeret. I mean, why is that? What about just a regular girl? I mean, how come we don't make sure? Honey, Nara, Psalot, it's like Knas. Well, only a girl who's got a problem has got a Knas, but Ksherot, lo? That's usually when you say Elu. Come on, you know what I mean? Achi, come on. Elu narot, who, despite the fact that they are psulot, sheyeshlem knas, abalam zeret alayfel akutit, and so on. Okay, but you are saying elu narot, which means only a nara, as opposed to a ktana. And the Tosafot says, I mean, maybe it means a nara as opposed to a gedola. But clearly the Mishnah itself makes that clear, because later on it says, kol makom sheyesh becher in knas. So we're really relying on the fact that the Mishnah can't mean that. But so we're medayik it already right up here to be able to talk about it right up front instead of waiting for the seifa of the Mishnah. So when you say Nara, you mean only a Nara, but a Ktana doesn't have a Knas. Now, who is that Tana Mantana? Which is a little bit strange because Tosfos elsewhere says the only time we say Mantana is when the Tana is not Rebbe Meir, because Tam Mishnah's Rebbe Meir. We always expect it to be Rebbe Meir. And therefore we say, gosh, who said that? Because we know it's not Rebbe Meir. The problem is, in this case, it is Rebbe Meir. And indeed, a lot of the Meforshim ask on that Tosis, but why are we saying Montana? We should just say that it's Rebbe Meir. Meshitasa. Anyway, Montana, I'm Rebbe Yehuda, I'm Rav. Well, it's Rebbe Meir, believe it or not. The Tanya, Ktana, Vibat Yom Echad, Viachtavish, Te Sarot, Yeshla Mecher, Ve'in Laknas. So a Ktana, from the day she's born until she becomes pubescent, has mecher, meaning her father, has the right to sell her. And of course, the sale is not dependent on her being ruyal of the yah, and therefore it doesn't matter if she's less than 3 years old. And there is, however, during that stage, no knas, because the Torah says, dafka nara, yesh la knas, but not a ketana. Umi shetavi shtei sarot, the moment she becomes a nara, which is the moment that the father loses his rights from Echer because she goes out free, even if he had sold her before, as we said in the introduction. So from that moment, she is a Nahara, and she has a Knas, but at that point, Ein Lamecher, of course. The Rebbe Meir, by the way, it's very interesting that there is an equivalent stage by a male, but only in a very limited way, of the stage of Naharut as opposed to the stage of Gadut. People usually think that a male is either a Katan or a Gadol. But in one issue, and only in one issue, there is an interim stage of pubescence, and that is the Gabi the Dina Ben Sorer Umore. So from the time that he becomes pubescent until such time as he's really well into puberty and has presented a great many signs of puberty, he is considered to be in an interim stage, Lagabi, that one aloha, that he can be a Ben Sorer Umore. It's the only thing in which we find a pubescent stage. And there's a long period of time for a male. Otherwise, we don't have a concept of that.
2 or 3 months.
Well, yes. Whatever, yeah. But here it's only 6 months. So this is Rebbe Meir's opinion. Sheha Rebbe Meir, Omer Rebbe Meir's opinion is Koma Kom Shesh Mecher in Knas or Koma Kom Shesh Knas in Mecher. The two states of the rights to a father to sell and the rights of a father to a Knas, of a Bechlal, a Knas to cases of rape, are mutually exclusive. V'chachomim omrim, v'chachomim saying, well, that's not true. A Ketana, although it's true that when it comes to Knas, we can't start Mibat Yom Echad, because the only time that you're chayev on Knas is for rape. And the what would be called in English rape of a child less than 3 years old is just assault and battery. It's not rape. And because of that, we can't talk about miyom echad. But what we can say is ketana mibat shalosh shanim miyom echad. We can talk about from the age of 3, where it's possible for her to suffer rape, ve'ad shetibager, until such time she's already post her puberty completely, and she's now a gedola, during that entire period. Yesh la knas, she does have a knas.
Regardless.
What do you mean? She has a knas. You're not trying to say she has a knas and not a mecher, are you? I mean, that's, you're saying once she's 3 years old, you can't sell her? That's crazy. I mean, we know she only goes out with simonim. So why did you say yesh la knas? Knas in mecher lo? Oh, come on. I'm responding to Rebbe Meir. What I'm saying is, ema af knas b'mokom mecher. I'm saying, look, mecher indeed extends miyom echad on one end, and indeed only until b'avas simonim, till the onset of Narut on the other end. But within that period, there's also crossover, because from the age of 3 years, and actually it extends further on when it comes to Knas, there's also this other stage. So we have really quite a long time of crossover between the Mecher. We got 9 years of crossover, basically, from the age of 3 until the age normally of 12, in which she would have both Knas and Mecher. Now, you list a lot of people that the guy's not allowed to marry in the Mishnah, and you're saying that they get knas. But why do they get knas? Ani b'nei knasim inu? Why do we not apply the pasuk in context? V'amai? Ikri kan, let us read the entire pasuk, which it says, v'natana isha shochevi ma'lavi anara chamishim kasev, v'lo tiyel isha. Now that means the Torah is making the two things interdependent. He has to be able to take her as a wife because tachat asher ina. So we have now the two responses to his rape. One is his payment of the Moara Betulot, and the other is the fact that he has to be able to continue to marry her. He obviously can't marry his sister, he can't marry Mamzeret, or any of the cases that we listed. So don't we read from that that the nature of the Dinim of Knas are only said in a case where it's Isha Haru Yalo? She has to be at least suitable for him. I mean, obviously, in many cases, the woman may not want him anyway as husband, but that's not the point. It has to be at least theoretically possible that if she would, that this would be a kosher marriage. And therefore, we should exclude, by virtue of the context of the pasuk, the knas as well. Omar Reish Lakish, says Reish Lakish, you're absolutely right. If that's all the information we had, we would have no choice but to exclude a woman who is not ruyah as a wife from the dinim of knas. However, the Torah was careful to be marbe, this halacha, by adding additional psukim. Because the pasuk begins, the pasuk before says, ki yimatzei ish nara bitula. So already it said the word nara in the first pasuk. And then continues on to say, v'natan, na'isha shokhevima, le'aviha na'ara. Which is completely redundant. I mean, it said le'aviha. It just said that he found nara, so v'natan, le'aviha. Why do you have to say le'aviha na'ara? Not to mention the fact that it could have just, it didn't even have to say ha-na'ara. I mean, the whole thing is extra. So it's, oh yeah, thanks. So we have the the Na'ara that's extra, the Ha-Na'ara that's extra, because that Hey could have been included in the word La'avia. And therefore, we have Na'ara, and then we have Na'ara, Ha-Na'ara. So we have three Psukim, one of which tells me the essential Din, and then we're left with two actual Ribuyim, although there is a Rabbeinu Chananu who tries to learn the whole thing out of one of them. Le'aviha Na'ara, because it could have, I don't know what he's exactly saying, it doesn't really make any sense, because the Torah never writes Na'ara with a Hey at the end. The Torah always writes Na'ar, and writes in the Kri, Na'ara. So you can't really darshan the extra Hey, Na'ar, Na'ara, Ha-Na'ara, if it isn't even there. So therefore, it does agree with Rashi that we're talking about really the two psukim, Na'ara betulah, followed by Le'aviha Na'ara, which gives us three psukim. Chad Legufe wanted to tell us what we're talking about, that a normal woman, a kshera woman, there's a din of knas, and Chad Latir Chai Ve'Lavim, one comes to include even the first set, let's say the Mamzeret and the Tina, where there are a lav involved, V'chad Latir Chai Ve'Krito, didn't want to tell me, even in a case where she is an Iser Karet, such as the case of his sister or his auntie and so on. Rav Papa says, well, Reish Lakish has got a little bit of it right, but not quite. Actually, there are three psukim, but they are not the three psukim in the parsha of the knas of a rape. They're the three psukim that appear in the knas of a seduction. And that's back in Parashat Mishpatim, where over there it says, V'chi yefate ish betula, and then it says afterwards, Kesev yishkol kemoar betulot, and it could have said, Kemar bitulot. So here too we have the bitula, we have the first bitula, we have the habitulot. So we have bitula, bitulot, habitulot, to tell me chad legufe. So one of them is to tell me the din of normal bitula. Chad latuyechai ve'lavim, chad latuyechai ve'kritut. Now actually, on the surface, we're talking about two completely different issues. One in terms of the knas for seduction, and one in terms of the knas for rape. And we ought to really maybe need both of them. It's not clear. Can we learn one out from the other? The Gemara is sort of leaving all this up in the air. And is taking for granted, and which happens to be the truth, as we'll see later on, that these two sugyas are very fundamentally interrelated because the Torah is Megala, that the didim of one will apply to the other in terms of the Knas and the Tashlumin. So we're taking that for granted for a moment. And it also appears to be that Rav Papa is bringing all of his rayas from the case of the Mefate, and Reish Lakish is bringing all of his rayas from the case of Ones. Now we're going to see that really this approach doesn't hold water, but let's follow it long enough to see where it breaks down. So assuming that Rav Papa and Reish Lakish are mutually exclusive, and that they are both referring somehow to the same halachas of extra psukim to tell me the set of Chayve Lavim, and separately the set of Chayve Kritut, why would Rav Papa turn to the sugya of the seduction, the Mefata, instead of learning it directly from the sugya of the rape, because I mean that's the much more interesting sugya, because it's only over there that we have the Lo Tiyeh Le'Isha, which is the source of the whole problem. The Lo Tiyeh Le'Isha is, we thought, okay, so then it would have to be Isha Ruiyah Lo. That's where we need the Ribuy. So I mean, it makes more sense to read it like Reish Lakish, to have the Ribuy in the place where we have the pasuk that indicated the need for the Ribuy. So Rav Papa seems a little strange to go looking at Mefata, where nobody had a problem with the Mefata anyway, because we don't have that halacha of Lo Tiyeh Le'Isha in that case. So Rav Papa, my time alo amark Reish Lakish. Ah, he says, well, Reish Lakish is on the right track, but he's got one thing wrong, because we need the Na'ara, that the Avia Na'ara, that Reish Lakish is claiming it's all extra. It isn't really all extra. We need it l'kide Abaye. The Omer Abaye, ba'alea umeta patur. Suppose he rapes this woman, and she dies before it's taken to court. So then he does not have to pay a knas. Shinema v'natan l'avia na'ara. That's why the Torah repeats. The payment is to be to the avia na'ara. L'avia na'ara v'lo la'avi meta. If she's already gone, then he's no longer the avia na'ara. And this accounts for the rape Italian style, you know, where you don't have to pay the knas. Heck, what the heck. Palestinian style. So, but in any event, since I need the pasuk of Avia Na'ara, it's not extra. If it's not extra, I'm forced into the position of turning to the parsha of the Mefateh to get the information that Reish Lakish really illicitly took out of a pasuk that wasn't really extra. And indeed, Reish Lakish, my time alo amakar of Papa, I says, the ptula over there we need for Gzirah Shavah, to tell me what the din is when it comes to the din of the payment of the knas. Because I don't know, really, what it is that I'm supposed to pay. And we have a very interesting situation in which the Moar Abetulot remains undefined. back in Mishpatim. Doesn't tell us how much that Mo'ara Betulot is. He can marry her. That would be nice. But if not, he pays Gemara Betulot. What's the Mo'ara Betulot? Who knows? So therefore, I need to tell me that we've got actually two different didim that each one expresses part of the other one. So by an ones, it says Hamishim Shekel, or Hamishim Kesev, actually. It doesn't tell us what the Kesev is. It just says 50 Kesevs. And when it comes to the Mefata, it says the Mo'ara Betulot is Shekel, Yishkol. But it doesn't say how many Shekel. So if we put the two together, we get Hamishim Shekel. There you go. So how do we know to put the two together? We only know it from the word Betula, which means that the Betula serves now as a Gzeres Shava, and it's not extra anymore. So this teaches, and we see this, by the way, for Feresh from the Brayta, says Rav Papa, the Tanya. Kesev Yishkot, Kemora Betulot. This teaches us, Shehei Ze Kemora Betulot, Umora Betulot Kazeh. So, the Shekel, now, is supposed to be here, the same as the Mo'ara Betulot. In the case of Ones, the 50 has to be like the Shkalim. And the Mo'ara Betulot referred to in the Fateh has to be the same 50 that's referred to by the Ones. And therefore, between the Ones and the Mefata, put them together, and we now understand the nature of the Knas. Says the Gemara, okay, I mean, but look, I mean, the truth is certainly Reish Lakish doesn't argue on Abaye, do we? I mean, we never find anybody. Reish Lakish, Nami, Boile, Likid Abaye, Rupop, and Nami, Boile, Likzer, Shav. I mean, we really, assuming that it's a machloket, we run into trouble. I mean, we're going to have to handle the fact that the most obvious drusha from the Pasuk of Avia Nara is that the Nara has to still survive. And the most obvious drush from the Betulot is the comparison of the two issues of Knas in the Torah, the Befata and the Ma'anis. So, I mean, what are we pretending that each one exists now in a vacuum? And if Papa could say his drush, or if Shlokesh say his drush, says the Gemara, you're right. I mean, we were really oversimplifying the whole thing. The truth is, Rav Papa and Reish Lakish were never arguing. They were simply focusing on different elements. One was talking within the context of one parsha. One was talking within the context of the other parsha. Each recognized the absolute need for the other's drasha. And one was referring to one of the sets, which is the ribui of, let's say, the chayvei lavi. And the other was referring to the other set, which is the ribui for the chayvei kritut. And each one is complementary. They weren't arguing. So because what we have to do is we have to look at the sugya as a joint sugya, ones slash mefate. In the sugya of ones slash mefate, we have six psukim. We have nara, nara, and hanara, and we have bitula, and we have bitulot, and habitulot, kimor habitulot. So now, out of those, we obviously need trela gufaya. Two of them are simply talking about the normal case of a bitula kshera and nara kshera, and that comes just to tell me the halacha, straight out halacha of an ones and a mefate. Okay. One of the six we need for abaya to tell me that the victim has to survive. One of the six we need for the Gzeres Shava, which we spoke about to tell me that the two sugyas are indeed interrelated. The Torah wants us to learn the Shekel from to the Kesev and the Hamishim to the Mo'ar. So now we know that the Mo'ar of Betulot equals Hamishim Shekel. Ones Mefata Simcha there. How are you doing, sweetie? And there leaves us with two. So we've taken care of four out of the six Tzukim. Aitrele Trey, we now have two Tzukim left. Therefore, what we do is we have one of the parshas. We thought that each one was looking to one of the parshas for both drashas, which is not true. Reish Lakish and Rav Papa looked to the two parshas together. One of them was talking about the set of lavim, and one of them was talking about the set of krisos. That's all. So that the Gemara had made a mistake in thinking that they could actually exist independently. Now, this Mishnah, however, that tells us that halacha, And says that in these cases that where we have a psul, the Mishnah that says that we do have a knas is lafuke mehaitana. The Mishnah, however, is not including, it's not going according to the following man the Omar. The Tanya, the Braita says, velo tiyele isha, that actually means, says Shimon HaTimni, according to Rashi, it's Shimon from the ear of Timna. According to others, it's actually Shimon HaTimani, and it's a big machlokas exactly. Actually, we saw, if you recall, that they're really two separate people, which explained the whole thing, because otherwise we ended up with machlokas. And Shimon HaTimani actually died young. He never got smicha, and therefore he's always called by his first name, rather than, although we do find Rabbi Shimon, which was Rabbi Shimon HaTimani,
And indeed, some use that to answer some of the steers between the Shitas. But Shimon HaKimni, who argues on Rabbi Akiva elsewhere about what creates Chayve Lavi, argues over here about, with our Tan, about the meaning of a Loti Yeli Isha. And he says, actually, Velo Tiyeli Isha means exactly what you think it means. Isha, Shiyesh Bahavaya, the word Tihiyeh is not used lightly in the Torah. The word Tihiyeh is always a word that implies a state of being, which is the state of Kedushin. And so therefore, and we dash that all the time, Tiyeh Ish Acher, and so on. So Tihiyeh means that it's got to be possible, at least, for you to be able to have a valid marriage with this woman, which seems to tell us that Chayvei Kritut are definitely not included because there's Ein Avaya in Kedushin Chalin B'Chayvei Kritut. Rabbi Shimon ben Menasseh Omer, it's even more than that, my friend. It's Velot Tiyele Isha means Isha Haru'uya Lekaima. You've got to be able to hold on to this woman, which implies that there's not even an Isser, well, maybe Lav. Maybe not exactly. What's the difference between Omer Rebbe Zera, well, big difference. If it's Yesh Bahavaya, so then a Mamzeret, in which you could still have Kedushin, although it's Usser, or Nitina, you could still have Kedushin, then that would include them in Knas. But if you say it has to be Isha Ruyala Kaiman, you've got to be able to hold on to this woman, then it would exclude the Mamzeret or Nitina, says Rebbe Zera. So that's the difference between them, big difference. Mamzeret or Nitina, Yikabinayu. Le'man Yomer Yesh Bahavaya. If you're Darshaning, Lashimon HaTimni, that you have to be able to have Kedushin in this woman. Okay, Mamzeret, Adami Yesh Bahavaya. But if you darshan the way Rabbi Shimon ben Menasseh darshans, and it's Ru'uya Lekaima, that she is suitable for keeping as a wife, then obviously if you're going to be over in Isser, love with her, ain't a Ru'uya Lekaima. Says the Gemara, but wait a second. I mean, what about if you hold like Rabbi Akiva? And Rabbi Akiva says, Ein Kedushin Tovsim even a Chayve Lavin. Now, we're obviously not asking about Rabbi Shimon HaTimni, because he is the one who, the Dafka is the one who argues with Rabbi Akiva. He is the one who says that the din of Mamzerut is dependent on the din of Karet. So we're not asking about this, but Tosis explains, we're really asking Rabbi Shimon ben Menasseh. If Rabbi Shimon ben Menasseh was a Talmud of Rabbi Akiva, holds of Rabbi Akiva. So then we've got a problem, because according to Rabbi Akiva, who holds that Kedushin is not Tofis on Chayve Lavim either, so then, there really is no difference between my Binayo. I mean, what exactly, how would he understand the difference now between saying the words Eba Havaya or the words Ru'yala Kaima? I mean, it's really the same thing. It would just be an automatic result of the respective Shitot in terms of Havaya. If you hold Havaya excludes only Karet, it's only Karet. If you hold Havaya excludes even a Lav, it's even a Lav. But you don't have to rephrase that and say Isha Ruyala Kaimakas. That's not the point. Anyway, a Chayve Lav, according to Rabbi Akiva, is not Ruya for Havaya. So then what's the difference between saying the words of Ruyala Kaima or the words Yeshba Havaya, if you hold as Rabbi Akiva? Well, no, there's still a big difference. The difference would be, even if you hold like Rabbi Akiva, in the case of an Almana L'Kohen Gadol. Because at Amana, the Kohen Gadol, as Rabbi Simoi has explained, the Tanya Rabbi Simoi Omer, look, you should know that min hakolo ser Rabbi Akiva mamzerim. Rabbi Akiva holds that all Isurim of love create mamzerim, except for Almana le Kohen Gadol. And Almana le Kohen Gadol, the offspring, is not a mamzer. And since the offspring is not a mamzer, as Tosis explains in a few places, according to both Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shimon HaTimni, this, the status of marriage, the status of Kedushin, is directly a function of the production of Mamzerut. So where Kedushin is possible, the offspring is not a Mamzer. Where the offspring is a Mamzer, Kedushin wasn't possible. Those two shittas go hand in hand. This is not a universal assumption, by the way. Rabbi Yeshua disagrees, as Tosfos shows. But it's definitely the assumption of these two shittas, of Rabbi Shimon HaTimni and Rabbi Akiva, therefore Rabbi Shimon ben Menasseh, we're assuming, who is following the shittah of Rabbi Akiva. So since Rabbi Simoi explained that because the Torah says, with the case of an Amon Kohen Gadol, so over there the Torah specifies that he's not allowed, lo yikach, this is Eila lo yikach, velo yichalel zaro bi'amav. So that means that if a Kohen Gadol would take someone who is not a betulah or an almanah, so then he would be creating now chalalim. But why would the Torah say, lo yichalel zaro, if he's going to create mamzerim? I mean, it's a heck of a lot worse to have mamzerim than chalalim. So if it only says chelulin, it means Chilulino Osev Ein Osev Mamzerim. He would create progeny over it, would be possible to the kohuna, because it would be chalalim. But it would not be possible of obikahal, because it would not be mamzerim. So therefore, even Rabbi Akiva has to agree that in this case, kedushin would be taifsim, and therefore it makes a big difference. If I say she'im ba'avaya, so then I mean in a case of the rape of a kohen gadol to this woman over here, so then she would be yesh ba'avaya, there would be a chiyuv of a knas if she's an almana. If I'm saying it has to be ru'iyah l'kayma, so then there wouldn't be a case of kenas, even in a case of an abana l'kohen gadol. Yeah? And what about according to Rabbi Yeshivav? Not everybody agrees with Rabbi Simoi's interpretation of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Simoi's interpretation of Rabbi Akiva is mamzer is created from chayvei karet, from all chayvei lavim, except one, abana l'kohen gadol. Okay? But Rabbi Yeshivav disagrees. Rabbi Yeshivav says, ben Yosef. Who is this guy? We should all protest him. He goes around claiming that any woman that was not muteret for you to have intercourse with automatically creates mamzerut. This guy's a disaster. I mean, you realize how many mamzerut he's creating in Yisrael? Who needs this? So, but if that's true, that the sheet of Rabbi Akiva would be to be marva all cases for mamzerut, even in Aman Alakoy Gadol, this is called. That includes Aman al-Kohen Gadol. So then now we're really in trouble, because if that is the correct explanation of Rabbi Akiva, so then we'd have to assume that that's what Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh would be holding. So then why is he using the words Ruya l'kayma instead of Havaya? It's exactly the same thing. Because Havaya is indeed enough to cover all of our bases. My Beinayu, there's still a difference. The difference is Chayvei Asay. Because a chi of Asay, for instance, Mitzri va'adomi, over there, the Torah says, Dor shlishi yavolehem. Which implies, okay, Dor shlishi, but not Dor shlishi. But you never said so. You just said, Dor shlishi yavo. So from that I can imply, but if you took a Mitzri or an Adomit, you took in the second generation, so there would be an Isra that was involved. That would be an Isra Asay. So that already would not be included of Ein Lav Biyav Yisrael. Therefore, I have to say Ruya L'Kayma, because it means Yisrael is also not Ruya L'Kayma. Now, all of that, however, implies that Rabbi Yeshevav's Lashon, where he said Kosha Ein Lav Biyav Yisrael, is a response to Rabbi Simoi. So, in context of that response, I'm not going to be medayek the words Kosha Ein Lav Biyav Yisrael. In other words, if I just heard Rabbi Simoi say, look, Rabbi Akiva holds that an almana l'kohen gadol is considered to yesh b'havaya and doesn't present mamzerut. And I respond and I say, no. Any case where in la biyam Yisrael. So then I understand you. You don't mean any case where there's no biyam Yisrael, even including an Yisra'aseh. You mean, as a response to Rabbi Simoi, that I don't include any lav, even almana l'kohen gadol, as a case in which would not present mamzerut, and therefore which kedusha would be chal. But suppose now that Rabbi Yeshevav is saying what he's saying outside of the context of Rabbi Simoi. He's a different shita. Rabbi Simoi says what he says about Aman l'kohen gadol. Rabbi Yeshevav, outside of the response to Rabbi Simoi, says, this Akiva ben Yosef guy is creating problems because kol she'ein lo bia, whether it's an Isra lav, Isra say, he's creating mamzerut. So then that would mean that according to Rabbi Akiva, if I would say ein la havaya, I would be including even Isra say. So now we're back where we started from. If that's the case, you have to change your language to start talking about the difference between Ru'uya L'Kayma and Ein B'Havaya. It's the same thing. Ru'uya L'Kayma is Ein B'Havaya. If you hold like Rabbi Akiva, I'll leave the Rabbi Yeshevav. So let's see that inside. Say, Nichol Rabbi Yeshevav. This works out okay, that it's coming now, if it's Rabbi Yeshevav, to tell me that it's including the Isser Chayvei Asay, but only if it's Lafuke Mitayim of the Rabbi Simoni Ka'ati. If he was coming now as a response to what Rabbi Simoi said, so then Shapir. If he is saying something outside of that context, so then let's look at his words. Forget about Rabbi Simoi. Kol. Do you see the word kol? Kol she'en lo bia b'Yisrael. What are you going to tell me that in Israel say has bia b'Yisrael? Understand? Well, all of a sudden we're not sensitive. It's only a mitzvah say. Who cares what God wants? But that's kol she'en lo bia b'Yisrael. Would include even a mitzvah say. So then tafilu chayiv say. So then my be now, and now I really don't understand. So what the heck is the difference between Ruya L'Kayma and Yesh B'Havaya, if you're all the Rabbi Akiva? Well, says the Gemara, there is still a difference. Iku binayu bi'ula l'kohen gadol. There's still one assay that wouldn't be included. And that assay is a bu'ula l'kohen gadol. Now, of course, it's rather strange if she's a bu'ula, so then there's no knas. So, what in the world is it talking about? So here we have a big machlokas. But the question is, what defines a bu'ula in terms of knas? Is a bu'ula a woman without betulim, or is a bu'ula a woman who has had sex? Obviously possible to have had sex in other ways, but without breaking the tulim. So that's a big machlokas rishonim, whether bia shaloka darka creates a bi'ula, or whether she's still a bitula.
Is for knas or for kohen gadol?
Knas. So if we're to the Rashi, learns the meaning over here is bu'ula shaloka darka, because if it would have been kedarka, obviously she was no longer bitula, she wouldn't get a knas. And therefore the only isser is vis-a-vis the kohen gadol. So he's not allowed to marry her. The problem is, it's a big machlokas, if a be'ula shaloka darka is considered to be a be'ula or not, in terms of knas. And the other way of learning is very straightforward. The Kohen Gadol was the rapist. It happens, you know. So if he's the rapist, so then she was a be'ula until he raped her. But now she's no longer a be'ula. So he's not allowed to take her. Nasty, nasty. Doesn't matter if it's his own. He's not married to her.
Well, there's a loophole being played with here, it seems.
No, that's the loophole we're going to use to explain the difference between Ruya and Kaima. Well, that's what he's saying. Isha Ruya. That's the point. I mean, otherwise, you could say that about Mamzeres also. So, therefore, this case would be different. You'll tell me, what about his words, Kol? I mean, why isn't it exactly the same thing? Why is this less of an issue than other things? Says the Gemara, it's less of an Isser because this is an Isser which is Eina Shava Bekol. So Maishna, why is this different than other Isserim? Not to create Mamzerut. This is an Isser Asay that isn't the same in all cases, which is a little bit strange because, I mean, the same thing is true about an Almana. An Almana is not Asser to normal coin. Almana is only Asser to Kohen Gadol. We're saying this is unique, this case of a bitula, which is in a shava bakal. Right, so Rashi understands the case is an asesh in a shava bakal. Till now we're talking about a lav. Okay, a lav we understand is included in Ein Ba'avaya, under all circumstances, fine. Rabbi Shevav wants to add, so he's adding even an Isra Asay, but at least an Isra Asay that shava bakal, like mitzvah adomi. Whereas over here we have a mitzvah asay, which is in a shava bakal. But some learn that what's unique about this case is the in a shava bakal, if he himself was the one who created the status of Bu'ula, whether he's allowed to keep her if he does take her, which the Gemara says. Nonetheless, we would say to Ru'ya, to say that he's the one that should marry her, and therefore this is a very strange kind of Isser. That's what it means, Einu Shava, but we're going to find such a kind of Isser elsewhere. Okay, but in any event, let's just review. We have the Tan of our Mishnah who says we have Ribuyim to tell me sets of women that are Isser, are Asser. And cannot be Loti Elisha woman. Nonetheless, do have a knas, because the extra word Nahara, or the extra word Betula, and that's true whether they're an Isser Lav, or whether they are an Isser Karet, and there's no possibility of Kedushin. Then we have the two Shitot of Rabbi Shimon HaTimni and Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh in the Braita that clearly argue on that, and they say only a woman, either the Lashon of Rabbi Shimon HaTimni is that it's possible to have Havaya, which excludes Chiyuvei Karet, and therefore that half of the Mishnah is gone according to that clause, one-third of the Mishnah. The third clause is excluded according to Shimon HaTimni, and Rav Shimon Manasseh goes even further. He says it has to be an Isha Ru'uyalo, which excludes now the first clause of the Mishnah. So the Mishnah now represents yet a third Shita. And then we had a machloket in Rabbi Shimon HaTimni. It wasn't clear for Tosafot Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh how far he was ready to go in terms of including the differences, but that's just a question of phraseology. I mean, basically, it has to be an Isha Ru'uyalo under any and all circumstances. Which of these Nashim would also be Ein Ba'avaya is an interesting thing to look into, but it doesn't change the fact that according to him, any problem at all takes away the chiyuv of knas because I cannot be mekayim, whether it's a sraseh or it's not, or it's just or even if it's an inashamba bakoli sraseh, whatever the case is, it has to be ru'yalo. If it's not ru'yalo, it's not included.
So, okay, we've got a lot of different dargas. The three sets in the Mishnah actually can be broken up into a lot of dargas. So we have the Yisr Lav, and we have the Yisr Kares, and we have, of course, the unmentioned Yisr Mita, which is mentioned only Agav, because there is no Mita, therefore we don't have a Kom Le B'Rabi Mine issue. But we also have Yisr Aseh, and we also have an Yisr Lav, which is Enoshava Bekol. We have an Yisr Aseh, which is Enoshava Bekol. And through the analysis that we had in our sugya, we discovered what the din would be, La Alocha, or at least the Machlokas, in all of those cases. And furthermore, in the research that we did as to the Makar of the Mishnah, we also discovered the very important relationship between the dinim of Mefata and of Knas, and the source of the Alocha of the Mora Betulot being equal specifically to Chamishim Shekel. Lovely.